Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. You know what I don't like? What I don't like is hearing cuts from yesterday's show where my voice sounds worse than today's show.
You're sounding better today.
Better today.
How are you
than
feeling?
Yesterday. Better than yesterday.
Now, I know you were coughing all night and you got thrown out on the couch.
Thrown out of the couch.
Thing. You have a comfortable couch at least?
Not even
that much.
Oh, it was funny, too, because when Susan got up this morning, she comes downstairs and I'm on the couch.
Yeah.
She said, "What are you doing on the couch?" I said,
like you
were swearing at me in the middle of the night. She said, "I did?"
I was like, I don't recall.
No,
I don't recall that.
So we found out yesterday that Kyrie Irving was not going to play last night against the Detroit Pistons. Did not play. Second straight game. Celtics won both, by the way. But he apparently is going to head for the All-Star game this weekend in Charlotte. We are told that he is bringing one of the trainers from the Boston Celtics with him.
Alex Guerrero.
Not Alex Guerrero.
It should be.
Well,
it might help him.
It might help.
Yeah.
He's bringing his own personal trainer guy. And interestingly enough, Danny Ainge has said publicly he's got no problems with him playing this weekend. Now, I almost wonder if that was because he was told he was going to play this weekend. So what do I do?
It's a good theory that why – and Brad Stevens, the same thing. We can hear – we have Brad Stevens' audio we can play in a second. But between Stevens and Ainge, they've both kind of gone with the same thing. Like, oh, I wouldn't mind – like, hey, the game was Wednesday. He was actually close to playing Wednesday. So if he plays in the game on Sunday – plus, you throw in the fact that it's just an All-Star game and, you know, you're just running up and down. He might not even play that many minutes, and they're certainly not stressful minutes, that he's going to be okay. And then their next game isn't until a week from tonight against Milwaukee, and as long as he's ready to go for that one, fine.
He better be.
But I just think with all of the drama surrounding this team, him being missing two games, one against Philly, which was a really important game, which they, of course, won without him, and then to miss the next night, and then to show up and play with LeBron and Durant and Anthony Davis, it just, I think, looks terrible. That, hey, I'm willing to go out and play with these guys, but I couldn't play in the games that matter. And I know he's going to be there. I know he was voted in by the fans, and that's a nice honor. I know for some reason he's coaching the rookie team, like the rookie sophomore game on, I think, Friday night.
By the way, I have no issues with him doing
that.
Issues with him going to the festivities.
He was voted
a starter.
I don't want him to play. I think it looks bad.
Well, Brad Stevens was asked about the possibility of Kyrie Irving playing this weekend. Let's hear what he had to say.
You know, there would be a chance if we played Friday or Saturday that he'd be cleared. And I guess my thought would be is if he would have been cleared for us on Friday or Saturday, then he should probably play. If there's any issues at all and you're not 110%, I would not play. And the reason I say that is because you're going to have to get some basketball activity in regardless. You need to get up and down the court. We can't do anything per NBA rules until mid-next week when we get back together. So to me, it makes sense. But, you know, if he's 100%, it's got to be 100%.
So he really, at first he said
110. Is that why the Celtics trainer is going?
Yeah, because they need to make sure that he's good to go. I still don't.
As opposed to Kyrie's personal trainer saying, no, he's good.
So he
get out there.
He can't play Tuesday or Wednesday, and then he's going to be 110% on Sunday? I mean, I guess it's a few days off in between. Maybe it's possible.
Well, Brad said there's a possibility he'd be cleared on Friday. Really?
What?
Possibility?
Yeah, and now he's going to play. And then I think this is just classic Brad Stevens trying to not make this a big deal. I don't think that's how he really feels. I really don't. I think he would say, are you kidding me? You missed these two games, and now you're going to play in the All-Star game with your buddy LeBron and run up and down the court there? And using the, well, you know, the guys, he's got to play. Like, you got to run up and down the court. Yeah, it's called practice. Like, you can do that. And I understand what Brad's sort of saying is, you know, these guys have a break, and they don't come back until the next week. But you're telling me you can't get like a quick little scrimmage going or something? If you really need to see Kyrie Irving run up and down the floor, you want to see it in the All-Star game? I just think it's bad, and it would be such a Kyrie Irving as we know him type of move.
Well, and even if it's totally legit, if it's totally on the up and up, that you
he's
know
healthy.
That tomorrow the doctors say, okay, he's good to go. If the Celtics had a game Friday night, we'd be letting him play. That and all of this is for real. The optics for the Celtics fan is, okay, he couldn't play.
Right.
He couldn't play Tuesday. He couldn't play Wednesday. But he can go to the All-Star game and play with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Now, the only reason why it's not the biggest deal in the world is because the All-Star game, we've all watched it in the past, or at least some of it in the past, you're just kind of running up and down, aren't you? Like
it's
a
hard labor.
I mean, the guys practice harder than that. And I always say they do turn it up a little bit late in the fourth quarter. I think at that point, you know, the guys that kind of care about the game, if they even do, they're a little bit more into it. That's how I feel. Maybe I'm wrong. But if he starts the game, plays 5 minutes, maybe comes out, start the second half, and then is done, you could see a situation where he plays 8 to 10 minutes, is just jogging up and down the court. I'm not like afraid he's going to re-injure it. I just think how it looks. It seems like there's Kyrie Irving and then everybody else on the Celtics. And then to go out there and do something like this, putting yourself in front of the team once again, how do you think Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, even Gordon Hayward, how do you think all the guys on the team would look at that? I can't imagine they'd be like, hey, good for him going out there and playing. I know he couldn't play with us in games that mattered on Tuesday or Wednesday, but he's having a good time with his buddy LeBron.
Tatum's the other member of the Celtics who will be in Charlotte this weekend. Well, besides the trainer.
Most important guy.
Yeah, Tatum is involved in that Rising Stars game, as you said.
Yeah, and the skills challenge is in both.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Good for him.
Yeah, I don't want him running up and down the court hard either, by the way.
No, and that's fine. I mean, I'm sure he's excited to be a part of that. You know, young guy. I assume he's going to make all-star teams in the future here, but at least he gets to go. It's all the best players in the world are going to be down there for the weekend, so good for him. That's fine. That game, there's even less defense in that rookie-sophomore game.
Now, it's been an interesting discussion the last couple of days, and listen, I'm not leaving myself out of this because I've been involved with it as well. You know, the fact that the Celtics are now 10-2 in games without Kyrie Irving this year, counting last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have at least the right to wonder whether they're fine without him. Just from a chemistry point of view, he's the most talented player on the team. That's clear. Nobody's suggesting otherwise. But I found it interesting. Chris Forsberg ran some numbers here, and I was looking at them earlier this morning. The Celtics' net rating with Kyrie on the court is a plus 8.9. Without Kyrie, they're a plus 1.8. So there's a pretty significant difference when he's on the court and when he's not on the court. Offensive rating with Kyrie, they're about 113.8. Without Kyrie, they're 105. Now, Danny Ainge talking about this, Danny Ainge finds the whole discussion silly to
begin. He really does. He doesn't understand how anybody could suggest that they're better without him.
He said, and I'm quoting him when he said, "We need Kyrie to be the best version of ourselves."
I 100% agree with that.
And it seems pretty self-evident.
Yeah.
The best player on your team can't be a drag on your team. But you also, it's kind of hard to look at the numbers and not just wonder if there's a chemistry issue when he's out there playing. Not that talent doesn't overcome chemistry, but is there at least that?
There, I think just the other guys, for whatever reason, and maybe it's just because, you know, the superstar's no longer there, how Kyrie plays, maybe at times they feel a little freer. And they get more shots, and then they have a better chance of getting into a rhythm. And we talked about it the other day about how not just Kyrie. And by the way, I think they're 9-2, not 10-2. I think he's only missed 11 games. But regardless, the stats are still the stats. I know Forsberg wrote 10-2, but I'm pretty sure they're 9-2. But I think they're 5-0 without Jaylen Brown, and I think they have a pretty good record without Al Horford. They have a pretty good record without a lot of guys. And part of that is they have a better chance of getting into a rhythm. They have one less guy. Or some nights, two less guys. No Terry Rozier last night either. I know there's a lot of people who love Terry Rozier, but no Terry Rozier, no Kyrie Irving last night, and they rolled. And part of that is Hayward and Tatum and Brown get more in a rhythm. They get a few more shots. They know they're going to get a few more shots. Kyrie leads the team in shots, so I think he takes like 18 a game. So when he's out, now there's more. And so they just need to figure out a way for Kyrie Irving to still be the leading scorer, but for those other guys to be able to have good nights, to have the night that Tatum had last night, or this little string that Gordon Hayward has put together. He's got to be able to keep that up. There's still point. I mean, think about it. They score like 115 points a game. So if Irving scores 25, there's plenty to go around with the other guys. They just need to be able to do it more consistently.
So he will be in Charlotte. how much he'll play, who knows? I mean, technically, he hasn't been cleared yet. Technically, that's got to happen first. Not to go to Charlotte. I think he'll go. I think he has to go, actually. I think he has to be there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There are certain commitments. Yeah. But he doesn't have to play.
No, he doesn't.
And technically, he hasn't been cleared to play by the Celtics doctors yet. That has to happen first.
And they can also, and we've seen this in years past with coaches, where there might be a guy who's not 100%, or some of the older guys. Like, I think in years when, like, Tim Duncan at the end of his career was in All-Star games, and Brad Stevens talks to the Eastern Conference coach and says, hey, he's missed a couple of games. We know he's here. You know, he got voted in, but let's limit the minutes. And they always do. They're not going to, like, burn him out. He's not going to play forever.
In Major League Baseball All-Star games.
Like, hey, listen, stay away from this guy.
I'm pitching my guy Sunday, okay? Yeah, could you, you know, stay away from him? And they always honor those commitments.
Yeah, so, like, I don't think the issue at all, and you're not saying this either, the issue isn't, oh, he's going to get hurt again or he's going to re-aggravate the injury. It's just how this whole thing looks and how it's Kyrie versus the rest of the Celtics often. And then this kind of is right back to the same thing where he's going to play in the All-Star game and ham it up with Anthony Davis and Durant and LeBron. And meanwhile, all of his other guys who are playing in back-to-backs this week leading into the game, they're watching this guy who couldn't play with them, and now all of a sudden he can. I just don't think it looks very good.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
What's up? Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Mark.
Hi.
This is just a question, so please don't crucify me, okay? But do you think some of the players on the Celtics, particularly the young guys, have a little resentment towards Kyrie Irving? And I'm asking this because, you know, it's almost like there's been a couple of times where you hear, well, Kyrie Irving won't be in the lineup tonight because of he needs rest, okay? It almost sounds like a Manny Ramirez type thing. You know, yeah, I just don't feel like playing, so I want to put me out because of rest. And you think maybe some
so
of the
I think that part,
like,
I think there's a chance, Mark, that some of the players maybe resent him a little bit. I don't think it's for that reason, though.
Who rolled his eyes when he was asked? Was it Jaylen Brown?
Oh, I would say Jaylen Brown. I would say Jaylen Brown is the guy. I don't know if the other guys do. My guess would be Jaylen Brown does. But it's not because of the rest thing. Like, that's become a norm in the NBA. And when you have a guy,
every team has that guy that they, I mean,
and
this goes
injury.
Back to Greg Popovich, who really started this whole thing.
And did a great job with it. But, I mean, Al Horford, he takes games off. But it's the team that makes him take the game off. I don't know if Kyrie is going to Brad Stevens saying, hey, I will not play this game. I think
they're telling him.
That's what I think. And so I don't think that part, I don't think players roll their eyes. If anything, Jaylen Brown sees that Kyrie's not playing, and he's probably a little bit more excited. He's like, hey, I got more shots tonight. I bet he's actually happy about it. But I think there is still a rift going on, and I think those would be the principal characters. Then Kyrie, and he probably has some guys on his side, like Marcus Morris, and then Jaylen Brown. Those guys seem to be butting heads. At least that's how I view it from the outside.
Dana's in Dorchester. Hey, Dana.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
I just had a quick question. This is going to be your fastest call of the day.
Okay.
I thought the All-Star game was between the East and the West players. Is that correct?
It used to be. Now they take the two highest vote getters. This year it was LeBron and Giannis, and they each got to draft teams.
Oh, man. See, they're always messing up something.
They actually stole this idea from the NHL, and then the NHL did away with it. Remember the NHL had the whole draft thing?
Oh, it was great. And they
remember
did that
when
live.
Phil Kessel was the last guy drafted?
Because they were
felt
all there.
Bad
they're
for
all
him
the
and they
room.
Gave him a car or something.
That's what they need to do. They need to make it. So last year they did this, and it was LeBron and Steph Curry, and it was not televised. And so people were trying to figure out. I think it got leaked out that Al Horford was the last pick. But right. Like you didn't know because they didn't do it live. This year they did it on TNT, LeBron and Giannis. But they didn't have all of the players in a room like the NHL did. I think eventually they'll scrap this too. I prefer East versus West. But the thing is, it's still the same number of All-Stars from each conference. It's not like LeBron just went up there and picked his team off the top of his head. You had starters get voted in, so you can only pick from the starters pool. So the starters will, for lack of a better word, start. Then the guys on the bench, East and West can get mixed up, but it's still 12 from the East, 12 from the West.
I probably prefer the East versus West
so
thing.
So do I. I definitely do.
And I didn't love it when the NHL did it as well. And the NHL ended up doing away with it. They've gone with an even weirder format. The whole 3-on-3 tournament.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, but I wonder if that's going to die out.
617-779-7937. We'll talk some football with Peter King later on in the hour. We get back to your calls coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WEEI.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
The leader, and certainly want to be the leader. It is incumbent upon the leader to figure out a way to get this group of guys as far as they can. And in that, as I keep saying, the Michelangelo quote, in every slab of clay, there's like a great sculpture, right? That's not true for every NBA team, but in that Celtics team somewhere, you're like, that's the team that could challenge the Warriors if they just figure that out. That is on the coach, that's on Brad Stevens, and that is on the leader on the floor. That is Kyrie Irving.
Really?
Kind of lost me in there.
We're not going to switch sports with this nitwit.
Yeah.
He tries so desperately to get attention from us and from Boston and New England that... You know, it worked for me with the Patriots stuff. Let me just switch over to the Celtics.
He kind of lost me with, what did he say, slab of clay? What was he saying?
As I keep saying, the Michelangelo, quote, in every slab of clay, there's like a great sculpture, right?
He just quoted
That's
Michelangelo?
That's not true for every NBA.
That's kind of an odd thing.
I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest maybe he wasn't quoting Michelangelo correctly.
Maybe not. What do you think of his point, though, that somewhere in this Celtics team, there is still the team that can challenge the Warriors? Because the problem is,
I don't feel it.
It's up and
down. I'm not sure they
can.
They can challenge Milwaukee or Toronto.
I think they can challenge them. I think they could still absolutely challenge them. I think the Warriors are just on another level. And I know the Blazers got them last night, but I just think they are. That starting five is the best starting five ever. They obviously have championship experience and then some. They have two of the best players in the league. They have three of the best 15 players and five of the whatever. They are just too loaded, but. I think the Eastern Conference, it's still open. There's four teams that can win the East, and I think the Celtics are one of them. And I think one of the keys is going to be one of the Keefe's keys, Dale, to the rest of the season.
We went there.
Gordon Hayward. How about Gordon Hayward the last three nights?
Hot lately.
He's putting it together. And I thought what was really important to see was the back-to-back. This is a guy, obviously, they've had to... Early in the year, he had the minutes restriction. He wasn't playing in back-to-backs. Then they lifted that. And then he would have a great game. Like, he would go out there and put up 30 points against Minnesota. And then he'd put up 5. Or he'd put up 4. Then he'd put up 35 also against Minnesota. And then he'd have a 2. Like, he would just go out there and you're like, what is it? He's had 3 straight games now. He had 19 against the Clippers. He had 26 against Philly. And 18 against Detroit. And in all of those games, he had at least 4 free throw attempts. Last night, he had 8 free throw attempts. And I think you're starting to see him be more and more aggressive. He's looking for his shot. He's
probably
going to the basket.
Feels better physically.
He
feels
must.
More confident.
Yeah, he must. Now, 2 of those 3 games happened without Kyrie Irving, and even the Clippers game, Kyrie went down in the first half.
Right.
So I'm wondering if those two guys can get on the same page. But if you have Gordon Hayward coming off the bench, I know he started last night, but normally if he's coming off the bench and is good for 15 plus points a game. That can be a pretty serious weapon for him in the playoffs.
All right, let's get back to the call. 617-779-7937. Jim's in Beverly. Hey, Jim.
Hey, what do you say, guys?
Hey,
How
Jim.
Are you? So, Keith, you kind of just hit on what I was going to say.
Good job, Keith.
Thank you.
Yep, right on point. So, like, Hayward, the last couple of games, looks good. And I think he's getting better game by game. But then when Kyrie's on the court, he's kind of in the background. He's standing around. I don't think these two can coexist. I mean, how much time do you need? I understand he hasn't been on top of his game. I just don't think these two guys can coexist in this system. And I don't think Kyrie's a Brad guy anyway. Like, Kyrie's a Kyrie guy. He's not buying into this system. I mean, I know he's good. I know he makes the team better. But he's not the only show in town. I don't think he wants to be here. I let him go. You bring someone else in next year. And you go from there.
Well, and you know, and that's going to be a decision they're going to have to make in the offseason. But for now, you have him. And for this playoff run, you have him. And you're better with him. I think Kyrie and Hayward can both be good together on the floor. But if you look at it this way, if you're really that concerned about it, Hayward's going to be the main scorer on the second unit. Like, he's going to be coming off the bench. And so maybe they don't even overlap too much. Like, if you're really worried about Hayward getting his shots while Kyrie is on the floor, then maybe you stagger the minutes a little bit.
I mean, the whole, you know, not a Brad guy. Aren't coaches generally, usually don't they say, you know what I am? I'm a talent guy.
Yeah, but Stevens has never had this much talent before.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is definitely a different experience for him. He got a ton out of Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and, you know, Avery Bradley and all these guys. He got so much out of all of those guys. And now he has a superstar. He has a couple of other all-stars. He has a couple of budding all-stars. And trying to let those guys all play together, that has been, you could tell, a real challenge for him.
John's up in Maine. Hey, John.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about Kyrie's statement with an exclamation point about going to the All-Star game. He basically is saying, I'm the best player. I'm the only baller going from the Celtics. I'm the leader of this team. And it's just kind of putting some of these young guys in their place and trying to be a leader. You know, and I have a real hard time with Jaylen Brown. I don't like his body language on the court. I just don't like his attitude. And, you know, you got to learn to follow before you can lead. And I just think some of these young guys need to kind of figure that out, that you can't all be generals. You need some soldiers. And I just like to see, you know, Kyrie. I think that's what it is. Kyrie's going to the All-Star game basically making a statement saying, look, I'm going to go ball with, you know, all my quote-unquote equals. And I think that's the statement.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a statement for sure.
I know that, you know, some people like him and some people don't. I don't think he's sitting there in his mind saying, hey, I'm the only guy who's good enough to be
in this. I don't know if he's saying screw those guys, but I think the message is kind of clear, like what he's doing. Like, he's going to go, he can't play with his current team, and then he can play with this group of all-stars and maybe guys that he would rather play with even next season. I do think last year's trip to the conference finals at the time was the best thing going, but in a weird way, it was also bad for the team and for the team chemistry. Because don't you think a lot of it stems from Tatum and Brown being as young as they were, leading the team? Those were the two guys. I mean, I know there were others that were there, but those were the two guys, especially offensively, that led the team there. They were a game away from the NBA Finals. And now Kyrie comes back. You're also trying to work in Gordon Hayward. And they're saying, well, we were pretty good without you. And maybe not realizing that, yeah, but you're a lot better with him, and you guys aren't there yet. You're last year was a great run, but I honestly think it was more fool's gold than anything else. I think it was the home court advantage. It happened to be the opponents that you were playing, everything. This team is better with Kyrie, but those guys probably aren't convinced of it because of how much success they had in the playoffs.
And they're saying, hey, did you see how we've played without him?
We're pretty good.
Did you see what we did last year in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Pete's in Hull. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Pete. Great.
So we were talking about the message of Kyrie. I mean, what is this message that he's sending to the Celtics? First of all, I think it's a bad example for the young guys, the Browns and the Tatums of the world, the Rozier's. But then you got guys like Smart and Al Horford. They got to be resenting this guy at some point. It looks like Kyrie is picking and choosing which games he wants to play in the regular season, especially the last month. I just don't think it's a good look now that he's going to go play in the All-Star game when he just basically, I think, took the last two games off. He just was like, what do you think? That's just what it looks like to me.
Yeah, see, I don't know how hurt he is. I really don't. So I don't know if it's the trainers looking at it and saying, listen, we're not going to play you in February because we need to make sure you're there for the playoffs, unlike last year. So you can't go through a situation where he re-aggravates an injury or something like that, because then you really are, you're screwed, just like you were last year. So I don't know.
Oh, I don't want to think about it.
I don't know if he's picking and choosing, Pete. And I think some of the other games that he missed, I think the Celtics chose because they were against bad teams. They were against the Cavs twice. They were against the Nets. They were against really bad teams. But with the exception of the Sixers, he has usually played when they've needed him.
Well, he's just playing.
I can't hear you.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Pete, your cell phone's driving us crazy. We talked about this earlier. I don't think he's going to Brad and saying, "Hey, listen, Wednesday, I'm not going." I think the Celtics are telling him,
"Yeah,
hey, you know what? We're gonna limit you here. We're gonna watch what we're doing. We're gonna sit you out in this game." And now I'm not talking about the games where he's hurt. Last two games he's been hurt. That's right. Different. You know, he can't play. He's not allowed to play. He's not cleared to play.
But obviously, he's and I'm not saying that, that he should have played in these two games because he's hurt. But if they're even entertaining the idea that he's going to be 100% on Sunday to play in the All-Star game, he can't be that hurt. Like Tuesday, like right? So like your percentage doesn't go from 0% to 100% in 3 days. So maybe he was at 80% or whatever. I don't know. Like whatever.
I always wonder how they come up with those numbers anyway. But
remember Rondo would always say he was like 21.5%. Yeah. I mean, he would always just have these outrageous numbers. But
which are just as legitimate as 80% or 90%.
Right, exactly. But I think it's the team and Danny Ainge made it clear that he has a trainer going with him. So this isn't just Kyrie saying, yep, I'm all set, or nope, I can't go. Like, there is a you know, an actual medical trainer as part of this process to see whether or not he can play. But he's a guy, he played 75 games once, but for the most part, he misses a lot of games. He misses 10 or more games every single year.
Yeah.
So it's not a shock. You just hope that he's playing in the playoffs like he did with Cleveland, but even then he'd miss time then as well.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll work in some NFL football with Peter King, who had Julian Edelman on his podcast recently as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
We've decided there's no such thing as an off-season in the National Football League.
It doesn't exist.
It lasts about 2 days, maybe. Three at the most. Peter King recently spent some time in Hollywood, talking to Julian Edelman, the Super Bowl MVP, had him on his podcast as well. Peter joins us right now. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Dale, how's it going today?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good.
What was your overall takeaway with all the time you got to spend with Julian Edelman?
You know, a couple of things. I first marveled walking up to his house above Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. I just marveled because I had done some reading and a little bit of research before I went in to see him. I marveled at the at sort of the two lives he has led, you know, and it changed 10 years ago when he was drafted by the Patriots in the seventh round. But he was describing to me, which you'll hear on the podcast, he was describing to me what happened to him at the end of his last year at Kent State, where he was working out in a horse crap gym in Euclid, Ohio. You know, he said, I felt like it was Rocky IV. And he said, you know, I mean, he's basically, he had no idea if he's going to get drafted. He's hoping, but he just has no idea. And you just think, here's where this guy has become, and here's what this guy has come to. And so we're sitting there on the second floor of his home, and I look out the window, and there's a huge billboard, you know, sort of, because he's up on a hill. There's a huge billboard. I'm looking straight at it with an advertisement for the Grammys, which were last Sunday, the next day. And I'm thinking, the guy holding the microphone sitting across from me is one of the presenters in that thing. And what a wild, strange, bizarre life and trip he's had. And it's just, if anybody ever tells you that you can't do something, you know, look at the life of Julian Edelman. You know, I mean, he's living proof. He went from being a guy who, you know, I've had people tell me this in the past few years whenever I talk about Edelman, that there's a good chance that Bill Belichick would have been the only guy who would have drafted him. And, you know, clearly everybody in the league passed on him six or seven times. So there's kind of proof of that, and I just think he's a great metaphor for what the Patriots have become in the last, you know, 19 years, which is They take guys who are good football players and pretty good athletes and have certain talents, and they get coached up tremendously, and they get prepared, and they get this thing in their mind that that you're going to play one way, and if you're not going to play this one way, you can find somewhere else to play. And, you know, the Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls in large part because of that.
Did you get the sense, because there's been so much discussion about how much longer Brady's going to play, how much longer Gronk's going to play, did you get the sense talking to Edelman that he is going to play as long as he possibly can?
You know, I'm sure he will, Rich. I didn't ask him that, but I'm sure he will. I'm sure they're going to have to drag him kicking and screaming off the field. Mm-hmm. He's one of those guys. I mean, listen to what he told me. Football is life. Not football is my life. Football is life. It's everything. And so I doubt sincerely that a lightning bolt would hit him sometime in the next 3 years and say, hey, you've done enough. You want to be able to walk, talk, and chew gum when you're 70 years old, so let's walk away. I don't see it.
I know how sick the rest of America is of the New England Patriots. I even understand it. If I was out there in the rest of America, I'd be sick of them too. But I don't get the sense that there's a big, huge slippage necessarily coming either.
Dale, no matter how you slice it, you know, I wrote in my column the other day that, I wish it would have fit a lot better if it was 100, but the Patriots are the only team in the top 101 picks to have 6 draft choices in April. This is a rich second and third round draft. Rich, like really, really good second and third round draft. The Patriots did not get one scintilla of contribution from their first round pick last year in Isaiah Wynn. So presumably, and again, look, it's an Achilles. He's a big guy. We'll see. But theoretically, you know, they should, I would think if somebody offers Terrell Brown a lot of money, and I would think somebody will, the Patriots will let him go, take the compensatory, say, fourth or fifth round pick in 2020, and just plug Isaiah Wynn in there because that's the way they operate. I remember a year ago when I was saying that Bill Belichick is out of his cotton picking mind for not paying Nate Solder and Brandon Cooks and letting those guys walk. I just thought I thought both of them were terrible decisions. And, you know, as usual, he's right and I'm wrong. I look at that. And the one other thing I look at is just that, you know, a year ago, there was a lot of fraying at the seams, okay? And now this is, I had one person in the organization tell me during Super Bowl week, you know, veteran guy in the organization, that this is a team unlike any we've had, because you can say anything about being unselfish, but he said, I can't think of one time this year where I've witnessed a player doing anything selfish on this team. And he goes, that's unheard of in sports today. And so I have no idea if they'll win or not, but I just think that if Tom Brady plays well, he doesn't have to be the MVP, but if he plays well, they're going to be pretty good. And I would also say this, I think there's a very good chance this year that they're going to take the guy that they hope would be the successor to Brady. So that's going to add, I shouldn't say very good. I think there's a good chance, you know, say 65% chance, because it's not every year that you get 6 picks between 32 and 101 to use as currency. And you've seen how Bill Belichick over the years has used his draft picks, to me, unlike anybody since Jimmy Johnson, as currency. And so I would assume that I think there's a good chance they're gonna take that guy. So that adds something. That'll add some spice and some fun if it happens, you know, to training camp and to practices in June.
Now, Peter, Brian Flores, of course, leaving, taking over as head coach of the Miami Dolphins, but he is certainly not the only coach to be leaving.
Yeah.
We're up to 5 coaches that have left, and not all for promotions either. Some are taking the exact same job elsewhere. Do you have any theory as to why so many coaches are leaving this year?
Well, I mean, look, three of them, three of them to me, you know, are going to Miami and probably, you know, because every guy who has dreams of being a head coach thinks about guys who he knows in the business, who he'd like to take with him. And what does Brian Flores know? All he knows is the Patriots. All he knows is that program. And so it stands to reason that he would ask somebody from that staff to be his offensive coordinator. Chad O'Shea, hugely respected guy, 10-year assistant with the Patriots, very, very well regarded both in New England and around the league. But, you know, because the way the Patriots work and because of the way that they operate, there isn't a lot of kind of commingling of staffs. You know, you don't see a lot of coaches on their staff who come in every other year from the Rams or the Seahawks or from anywhere else. Bill Belichick coaches his coaches to be Patriot coaches. And so Brian Flores basically is going to have a pretty limited supply of friends / peers in the business to deal with, because if you're going to have somebody to be your offensive coordinator who, I mean, really, Chad O'Shea has got one of the most challenging jobs in professional football, you know, on the assistant level in 2019. You know, Adam Gase was hired to fix the Dolphins, but also to find a long-term quarterback. And you blame injuries, you do whatever, but he had to make 10 quarterback changes in 3 years, and now the Dolphins have no idea who their quarterback of the future is. So Chad O'Shea not only is going to have to coach that guy, but he's or pick either a rookie or a veteran or whoever. I vouch for this guy. I can make this guy our long-term guy. So, you know, he's got a big, big challenge on his hands. But I think the only guy who, and again, I have no idea what happened, is the Brendan Daly thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know him. I don't know the situation. So I'd feel foolish commenting on his reason for leaving because I just simply don't know what it is.
The one thing I'd have is that his wife is from Kansas City.
Yeah.
And that may have had something to do
with it. Or maybe he thought he was in line to be the defensive coordinator, or I don't know, and maybe Greg Schiano.
But you know what, and let's talk about Schiano for a minute. Like, it's clear from the years that Bill Belichick would go road scouting, you know, at times, going back to certainly Devin McCourty and Daron Harmon and Logan Ryan and all these guys at Rutgers. It's clear that there was a mutual admiration society, Bill Belichick and Greg Schiano. And I'll tell you, look, I'm going to be a little bit getting the hair on the back of my neck to stand up about Greg Schiano, quite honestly. I think Greg Schiano has gotten jobbed more than any coach on a high level over the last few years in football. Let's go back to when he was in Tampa. Was he a nut job with some of his rules? Yes. No question about it. Could he have not attacked the middle of the Giants offensive line when they were in victory formation? Yes, absolutely. I just don't think you should do that. But I'll also tell you this. He had a quarterback, Josh Freeman, okay, who was an insubordinate person when he was the Bucs quarterback. And again, look, no quarterback has to. It's not mandatory that you work 7 days a week during the football season. And Josh Freeman didn't think that he should work either much or at all on Tuesdays. That was his day off. It was always hard for the staff to reach him. And I have no idea what Schiano ever said to him about it, but I'm sure that it was something to the effect of, there's 31 quarterbacks who work on Tuesday. I mean, you got to, you just have to do it. You got to do something. You got to look at the game plan. You got to whatever. And that was part of it. And then the thing in Tennessee, which was, you know, stirred up by, to me, some people who don't know Greg Schiano at all. And he should be the coach of the Tennessee Volunteers right now. And I just think that he's gotten jobbed. And again, I don't know how well he'll do. I don't know how he'll be accepted. All I'm saying is that I'm glad to see he's got a shot running the Patriots defense.
Do you put any stock in some reports out there that there have been NFL owners reaching out to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver to see whether there'd be any interest in having him succeed Roger Goodell?
Yeah, I don't have any idea whether that's true or not, Dale. I'm sorry. I just don't know. I'd be a little surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be a little surprised. But I do think there are some owners in the league who wonder why Roger Goodell just basically pulled a disappearing act in 2018. He's kind of given up on selling his program to the public. He used to do things like he would go to a tailgate in Cincinnati before Bengals Steelers, and or he'd go and have a fan forum somewhere, or, you know, I think he talked to Sam Farmer of the LA Times a couple of times this year. He did press conferences whenever the NFL had meetings, and he had a Super Bowl press conference. Other than that, he basically has disappeared from public view. Now, you know, I know he's had some dinners with people both in the media and I'm sure he's had a bunch of dinners with owners, but he basically became a private commissioner this year. I assume because anytime he appears in public, he gets heavily criticized. But I don't know the answer to it. Wouldn't shock me. Would surprise me a little bit, though.
What do you think happens with Antonio Brown?
I keep saying, Rich, that I think the Steelers are going to swim against the tide and make one significant effort to keep him. I know nobody else right now is saying that. I just kind of know how the Steelers operate. I remember after the Steelers went 6-10, Bill Cowher was getting all sorts of brickbats thrown at him in Pittsburgh. People wanted a new coach, and Dan Rooney told me at training camp that year that they just extended Bill Cowher for two additional seasons because, quote, that's how we do things around here. We don't listen to the crowd. And so, you know, that's why I think they're going to make one more attempt. Now, do I think it'll work? No. I thought there was a really smart piece in The Athletic this week by Mark Caboli, who has covered the Steelers for a while, about how much Antonio Brown has changed and that the Steelers basically absolutely will trade him. They can't bring him back to the fold. So that's probably what's going to happen. The question is now, you know, with as loose a cannon as he is, and basically as he showed the last week of the season, as unreliable as he is, as great as he is, and also a week that he got convicted of driving 100 miles an hour in a suburb of Pittsburgh, reckless driving, I mean, what do you get for him? I'm sure the Steelers are going to pound the table and want to win. I mean, if you're a general manager in the NFL and you might have a ticking time bomb, how, as great as he is, you know, he'll be fantastic for the first few months. I wonder how he'll be in tough times in November and December and what'll happen the day that quarterback X only targets him three times. I think it's going to be hard for them to get a one. Not impossible, but hard.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the what's left of your offseason, which probably isn't much.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
See ya.
Thanks, Peter.
That is Peter King, Football Night in America. And you can go to Football Night in America on Twitter and get the link, his podcast with Julian Edelman. Spent a lot of time with Julian at his house. And it's kind of interesting. And if you do think about the whole storyline for Edelman, I mean, he's a quarterback at Kent State. You know, they draft him. They turn him into a wide receiver. He's wondering if he's even going to get a chance to play football anywhere.
Right. And he's a Super Bowl
and
MVP.
And now he's the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Giving out Grammys.
That too.
pretty good run.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Right back to the calls with you coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.